Record. Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have with me Marielle Tomlin. She's a newbie. This is her definition, CNM, that I think has a really cool story of where she got to do clinicals and what she's doing now. And so before we started recording, had some really great conversations I want to expand on. So thank you so much for being with me and tell me a little bit about yourself.
Hey, thanks for inviting me on to be interviewed. So I'll talk a little bit about kind of my path to midwifery. I guess I remember reading like one book as a little girl, The Midwife's Apprentice, and that kind of piqued my interest now that we talked a little back bit looking back. So that was probably like the first time I heard the word midwife. Let's see. And then, time went by. And I think then my next exposure to, midwifery or the birth world was when I took an online doula class. I was preparing to go into the Peace Corps. And I think in like some Peace Corps forum, someone recommended doing like a doula class to kind of get, like a little more information about maternal and child health, because I was a maternal and child health volunteer, a public health volunteer in the Peace Corps. And then, that was just it for me. I learned about like home birth and being a doula and a midwife. And I knew that's what I wanted to do. So that was it. So then I went on, I did, the Peace Corps for 2 years in Kenya and worked in maternal and child health there. And, I was really able to focus kind of my projects because I knew I was going to come back and start the path to midwifery. So came back to Baltimore, where I am from, went straight into nursing school there. I went to Johns Hopkins, just because it was where I was from. So it was local for me. And they had a really cool doula program for their student nurse midwives, for their student nurses. So I did that and I worked as a doula while I was in nursing school, which was really, really fun. I think I paid like less attention to my classes than I did to like my doula work. And I took like a crazy amount of clients, but I just loved it. And I got to check out like different hospitals and a local birth center. So that was really cool. Then I got a high risk labor and delivery job. So I worked there for like 3.5 years, knowing that I wanted to eventually do out of hospital birth. And I wasn't sure if I was gonna like do kind of like a hybrid, like hospital birth center, be like a hospital birth center midwife, like that would have satisfied me, or if I was gonna do home birth, birth center, or just home birth, whatever. I didn't know the specifics, but I knew I wanted, for me, that confidence of like seeing all the craziness in the high risk setting first. So I definitely got that in Baltimore. I had my own baby at home during that time too. So I got to experience labor firsthand. And I was just, still totally like blown away by like the power of the contractions and how long it took to
new
push.
level of empathy, because we have that arrogance. Oh, I've helped people in labor all the time, I could do this.
And almost like my water broke right away, and almost like I knew that was going to make things more tense. So I remember I had like two contractions, rolled over to wake up my husband, and my water broke, and I was like, no,
you know, too much for your own good. I remember that with my home birth with my first, because she'd be like, feel the baby's head, and I was like, no, because then I'm going to analyze how much more I have left. I'm just going to keep pushing and feel the burn. And
So I had a great birth though. I had actually a nurse midwife and professional midwife team of two midwives, and a friend who's now a midwife, a professional midwife, was like my doula friend that came, and my mom was there, my husband was there, and it was wonderful.
You had the best team ever.
Yeah, it was great. And then I had, crushing postpartum depression and anxiety. So that's a huge part of my story. And that's one of my passions as a midwife too, is just like normalizing it, raising awareness. I really talk about it with all my clients. And really like, try to get it out of them. I feel like I have like a spidey sense for like when women are struggling with that.
Well,
and
because
I
you
like
have a new level
them.
Of empathy. I mean, it makes a big difference when, when you've, like, I can catch burnout in a heartbeat because I've went through it. Like, it makes a big difference when they're saying stuff and I'm like, yeah, that's the cop-out answer I used to give too, but I really know what you're thinking on the inside.
Yeah. I was like, I wanted to die. I wanted to give my baby away. Like, how are you feeling? And I feel like women, like,
as soon as you can relate and put that guard down, that it's real and it's raw. And it happened to you, that, oh my gosh, if it happened to my midwife, okay, I can really talk about it.
And I remember like when I was in the thick of it, my mom was like, This is a blessing. Like, you're going to be grateful you went through this. She's calling me now. Sorry.
Oh, that's so
And
strange.
I
You
was
say
like,
your mom's name and she
oh.
calls. Yes. But yeah, anytime there's a crisis, it brings opportunity. I think that's what's hard when I do consulting work. When midwives are going through burnout and they're having such a downtime, I said, I promise you, 6 months to a year from now, you are going to appreciate this moment. But at this moment, you're not. So, like, if we're too comfortable, we don't change. But yes, like you said, you're very passionate about, okay, this happens, but how do I use it to support other people?
Yeah, so I was like, she was annoyingly right. And yeah, it's definitely one of my passions now and something I want to like write about and talk about. And yeah, like get more into like doing reels on social media about this just to like get it out there so people know about it. Because I was like sideswiped as, you know, a nurse and a student midwife, and like I didn't know all the signs or how to deal with it. Yeah, so I could talk
Well,
about that
especially the
for.
population you serve, you haven't hinted at your newfound practice, but I think that Amish and the Mennonite are a very quiet, suffering community. And so having you where you can really, because it's part of the culture of not complaining. And I live all around the Amish. You and I chatted about it beforehand, but we know this community very well. And what are things that are allowed to talk about and not? You just have to suffer through it. You're tough and you do it.
Yeah, and there's some isolation too. Like, you know, we have you and me have like, you know, like we could just like look at something on Instagram and find support from other moms. So yeah, it's just there's definitely some benefits, but some downsides to that kind of not having technology at your fingertips.
Well, and even just the side of you want to put a support group together, it's not the same as the English. You got to ask, like in my area, it's so conservative, you have to ask the bishop. And I can't even go as a female to talk to the bishop. I have to talk to the bishop's wife and then the bishop's wife. Like it's this interesting dynamics of where you live. So you have all these across the board. But anywho, so tell us about you finished midwifery school and what are you doing right now?
Yeah, so I ended up doing like finishing off my clinicals with a midwife I'd connected with up here where I am now. This is home, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. We're, you know, rural, and I serve mostly the Amish and Mennonite community here. So I ended up actually taking over a practice from my preceptor, and we kind of transitioned while I was
The
finishing
best way
school.
to do it. I can't stress it enough to people when they say, oh, I'm going to open a practice. I was like, see if someone's retiring first in your area.
Yeah, like everything was in place. I mean, we probably spent like over a year just doing introductions. She would take me to like meet her collaborative physician and like the, you know, the team of midwives and doctors at the hospital. She'd be like, there's this luncheon and we're going. So you can meet everyone. And you know, we put out like a newsletter to all the clients and the community introducing me. We put out something in the paper kind of announcing her retirement and introducing me as coming in. So yeah, it definitely takes time in this community to kind of make your way in, earn trust, and just like learn the cultural ways too, you know, dress what, you know, you can say and what you can't say. And
Yep, that baby and the German and some of these words that are very similar. Like, yeah, I would get slapped so many times because you're trying to be cautious because there's kids around, but then you don't realize some of the words convert very easily over to.
yeah. Yeah. So just learning all those, you know, like pregnancy is this special thing that's kept secret from the rest of the family and things like that. Yeah. So there was a ton to learn. And I feel like I was blessed to have like time to do that with her while still learning all these midwifery skills and learning how she runs her
Business. You got
practice.
like when you're telling me how much you paid offline for the practice, I was like, you got a great deal. I mean, people don't give value for not just the financial statements, but the education. You got clinical education, you got business, you got cultural education, you got a full package. So you got a really good deal.
And she's my mentor, you know, for life too. But yeah, so it was great. And I think, you know, I think she was also happy because she was like, I don't know if I would have sold it otherwise. She was like, I just wanted to find someone to like keep doing this work. She had bought it from someone before her too. So it's cool because like my
That
practice is like
transition.
35 years old, and has grown from like being in someone's basement to then she bought, like has two office spaces. And then I feel like part of my journey and my goal, hopefully in the next year or so, is to buy like a big house that can like house the practice and have like a lot more space and privacy. So.
Well, and I think part of it when we, you and I talked offline about things to sustain midwifery, I see these little crutches. I see the legacy of midwifery. Too many midwives aren't real strong business owners, so then they don't know how to sell a practice. They don't know how to get a practice starting. But the
Or they
compounding.
feel guilty for being like business minded and feel like they shouldn't be, and we should just care about women and be self like selfless. And yeah, I feel like I have to like constantly be like, well, I'm here to serve women, but like I also want to make some money. And like there's like shame in that for midwives. So I feel like
It's,
that's
I think women in general, the book Psychology of Money is really good about that because we're conditioned to you're greedy if you like money. And I'm like, you can serve more people. You can go on vacation. You can retire. You can have, if you're happier and healthier and taking care of yourself, you're going to do a better job. You're going to be more sustainable. Like, how is that not a good thing? So it's all your perspective of how you view it. But yeah, I am a big fan of like, I teach midwives. I was like, if I could teach you about a passive income stream and now you can take less clients, aren't you going to get better care? And now you can be picky which clients you take. And like, isn't that a good thing? You can now give care on your terms if we learn these things. But yeah, it's hard women in general because a lot of times the husbands are taught to be the financial decision maker and they don't have to learn about money. But when it's your own business and you want to be along around long term, you have to learn this side of things. So yeah, I would love, like, you have how many, do you guys just have the one or do you have more kiddos right now?
We have one kiddo. He's 4. After we get off here, we're gonna go like get his haircut, buy him new shoes, and get ready because he starts his little like preschool tomorrow. So,
Oh, I get lots of pictures. They grow too fast. My three boys are 3, 10, and 12. So yes, they grow too fast. I think of the 12-year-old because he's that preteen. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're gonna be driving a couple of years and you're gonna be an adult. This is scary, but it's exciting. So, but I think yeah, you have a stay-at-home dad and you take a larger volume because it's in a well-established practice. So you never had that lull of, okay, I got to get myself going. And you made money from day one, which is awesome. So that's the benefits of buying an established practice, even if you have to pay for it. There's so much value in the relationship building. Like to get a collaborating physician, the value in that. I mean, to already have a practice established, I mean, there's a lot in that. So, one thing you and I had talked about, and I really hit home, was you made the comment, I never knew I would like being a business owner. Can you expand on that comment?
I just feel like along with like learning to be a home birth practicing midwife, I have totally learned like how to run this business along with it. And I mean, it definitely gets stressful, but I've actually enjoyed it a lot more than I ever thought I would. So just like getting organized, I'm getting way more tech savvy. I have like, different apps for managing. Like I use like QuickBooks to manage like all my finances and get ready for taxes. I really enjoy like finding other women business owners to help me run my business. So I have like a female accountant who is amazing in the area, and trusting her to do that. I'm actually have a meeting this evening with someone to help me with my retirement, who is, I delivered her baby like 6 months ago, and that's her specialty. So I'm like, yes, like surrounding myself with like awesome women who are in business. I have my oldest friend from childhood is she has her PhD in like human relations, and she has been like a huge help to me figuring out like how to staff my office, like how to schedule like my nurses, and birth assistants and things like that. So yeah, I've actually really enjoyed delving into business. Now I'm like listening to podcasts on business, financial podcasts, audiobooks on business. And I'm enjoying starting to get on like social media, Instagram and Facebook, and
Yeah, a
talk
lot of your clientele
specifically
you won't
there.
need that so much, but if you want to expand with the English, so.
So I can post more like sassy stuff on social
Yeah, you
media,
don't
but
have to
like
worry about
connecting
your
with other,
reputation being affected so much with your clientele.
So
I think
it's
it's
been
just diving down
interesting.
the rabbit hole of this unknown world. And I did that starting in 2017. And mine was not so much that I got this gentle transition into the entrepreneurial side. I got hit in the teeth, kind of like kicked. I call it like the cow as a farmer kicks you in the teeth because you didn't know not to stand behind him. I started a business and I had no training and no learning of business. I learned hard knocks and it hit me hard. And so I stepped back from my private practice and dove down that rabbit hole the last 5, 6 years. And so I'm very passionate about the business side of midwifery because I truly see that's a big crutch of expanding and sustaining midwifery access. And what are one of the biggest things you've valued of being a business owner? You said you like it a lot, but what are in particular things?
Let's see. I like the independence a lot. Sometimes it's definitely scary and I'll lay awake at night and be like, this all depends on me. But then I have like total flexibility over me and my family's life. Like, talking to my husband the other day, we were like, okay, let's like, should we take like a month off this year and just like do something cool? And I was like, yeah, so I can just do things like that. I decide what I pay myself. So I pay myself a salary and then I give myself, like profits or dividends too. So yeah, deciding what I, pay myself, deciding the staff.
I would love to expand before you move to your next part. There's big value of midwives because with I talk about it often, and I'm glad you brought it up. Going from sole proprietorship, you're using your own social security number, and you don't get any real tax
I don't do
savings being a
that.
business, to an LLC is the first step, and then switching to an S corporation once you get well established, typically at least 40,000 a year because of the additional tax cost involved. But it, that like you hit home a really important business strategy. I wish all midwives knew about. Most midwives should be S corporations because if you can split between a salary and a dividend, you are going to save immense amounts in taxes. So I'll let you keep going. I wanted to add that plug of that cool
So I'm not
strategy you figured out.
self-employed. People will be like, oh, so you're self-employed. I'll be like, yeah.
No,
But
I'm a
I'm
business
technically
owner.
not self-employed. I own my business and I'm an employee of my business. So I pay myself a salary, which is cool because I have that like rolling. But yeah, then I choose, when to pay my family. I call it like, well, don't pay me, I pay my family. But yeah, so I choose the staff I hire, the nurses I work with. I choose how busy I am. I choose my vacation. I make my schedule.
Well, you even get to choose the style of care. Yes, it's a little easier with the Amish Mennonites, but comparing a hospital nurse midwife to a private practice nurse midwife that serves the English, like I always give the example, you want to improve outcomes. It takes 2 years of administration meetings for anything to change. I loved it with my practice. I'd be like, oh, here's a new guideline. Here's a new thing we want to do. Oh, it's done. Next week we're implementing it. Like that, when you're action oriented and you want to see change happen, it's the advantage we have as small business owners is we can do it overnight versus the bigger an organization is, the more chain of commands it has to go through to happen.
And even like on a small scale, like supplies or something, I'm like, oh, I like those baby hats more than those ones. I just go order them.
Right. Versus you have to get approval and then they have to look at their fiscal budgets and then they have to get, you have to ask every doctor and provider if it's okay, we switch to these new baby hats. Like, yeah. So, I guess what are the other things if you wanted to inspire other midwives? I think CPMs are really good. They're trained many times in business and home birth, birth center, but nurse midwives in particular, you didn't get any training in school. We chatted about that ahead of time. Frontier offers a little bit with the birth center workshop, but most schools, there's nothing with business. So, how would you talk like a midwife that's out there, you're a newbie, fearful of starting their private practice? Like, what advice would you give them?
Just explore it. I feel like, yeah, like there's a lot of really great Instagram accounts about like home birth, and books and podcasts. Like there's so much out there, but just if you're interested at all in out of hospital birth, like, just connect with the other midwives in your area. And if you're a nurse midwife, don't be afraid to like talk to a professional midwife or vice versa. So I think being more, inclusive in that way and partnering with each other. But yeah, it's, I think, you can do it. Out of hospital birth is known, I think, for like one, paying really poorly, and two, just like working you into the ground. So I'd like to see, be like a vision of like not doing that. I probably do work pretty much into the ground, but I love it. So,
It's not considered work when you're loving it. That's the thing I always stress. They're paying you to do your passion. That's the wording I tend to use.
So I think like, just kind of being an example of like you can make really good money doing out of hospital birth, and normalizing, hopefully higher salaries for that. And, you can just As a nurse midwife, you can in a lot of places just set a shingle outside your house and like open your own practice. So I think a lot of people don't know that or think that's really scary. So yeah, I feel like we need like books out there. Like you'd
I'm working
mentioned
on it. I've got a
your
whole
class
series. We're
about
in the
like,
early stages. We've got the online courses for business part of empowering midwifery education, but the books, no, I've got a series of 12 books that'll probably convert from e-books to publishing. So yes, it's because the whole awareness is you want inspiration and stressing to people because people get in that little narrowed box. Well, if I'm going to be a business owner, it's a midwife, I've got to do a home birth or a birth center. I'm like, there's 50, at least 50 businesses a midwife can start within their scope that you don't know what you don't know. And so the whole point of these interviews are to inspire and challenge people. And being a business consultant and really understanding the thick of what community-based midwives have to go through. And you've seen both sides of it. I mean, you've been very blessed with having an awesome clinical site, taking over for an amazing established practice. You said it's a three-generational midwife practice, which is rare. So you want to expand on that a bit?
Yeah, so my practice has been around for like 35 years, I think. I think the first midwife had it for about 10 years and she ran it out of her basement in her house. And then the next midwife, who was my preceptor, had it for 24 years, I believe. She ended up getting two different offices for it, so really expanding. And then, my goals coming in fresh and new is hopefully to get like to actually buy a physical property, a house, to kind of be the home base for the practice and to hopefully add another midwife or two. So,
Yeah, we got to add that plug in there. If anybody is interested in doing Amish Mennonite in Baltimore, they definitely need to reach out to you. I'll put if you're okay with it, your email at the bottom of the description so they can reach out and learn about your practice. And yeah, I mean, I did clinicals my last 6 months with the Amish Mennonites in Northern Indiana. And if you want to talk about the coolest across the country, English are fun to take care of, but the Amish Mennonites have such a ingrained culture of how they birth and how they perceive a midwife, and that relationship is just so unique.
Yeah, I've learned so much from the community here about birth and, like what's normal and their acceptance of what, when not normal happens is really amazing and inspiring. So yeah, I really love it here. And yeah, I really love becoming a business owner a lot more than I thought. It really surprised me.
Yeah. Well, and I gave the example off the recording. I said, if you've never fished before, how are you going to know you like fishing? Like, I stress to people, start a tiny business, do something on Etsy. You don't have to full scale. Like, when you and I chat about, you did the Peace Corps. You were so wise to do normal and see under like limited resource relationships of birth in different cultures and then do high risk. I think it's very hard if people's first exposure is high risk because then it's really hard to feel comfortable to go the other direction. I see very key things with midwives. If you can try to get your training in the normal side first and then get the high risk, you're going to be much more successful and comfortable with the birth environment. So yeah, any other great words of wisdom you'd love to do before I get you to your 4-year-old?
Ooh, I don't know. Just believe in yourself and just go for your dreams. I mean, like take that time to like, do something silly, like make an actual vision board. But think outside the box. Nursing and midwifery is really dynamic. There's a lot you can do. You can kind of do it all. You can do be a hospitalist and make good money and then do something totally different on the side, or you can go all in and start your own practice and live and breathe, the work that you love. Or you can do like birth art on the side, like some midwives out there, and paint and sell it on
Yeah,
Etsy.
placenta
Other
art.
stuff.
I've seen some really cool mugs. People love pottery. I take your artistic side and they'll make some really cool, like printed mugs and birth. And I mean, you can do anything. Like, I have one consulting clients. They have a patent for a CBD oil that's specifically for well women. And like,
Oh yeah, that'll catch on.
you could do anything you want to. We just have to think. I mean, we can be inventors. I give the example of Malene Hegenberger in Scandinavia. I can't wait till it's FDA approved. It's the Hegenberger speculum. You should look that up on online. It is going to change the face of suturing, particularly for community-based midwives, because there's
Cool.
so many transports we have to do because we can't visualize well.
Yeah,
So
because we're in there with a head torch, like,
well, you only have so many hands. I mean, the angle, the lighting. So the Hegenberger speculum, I'll put a plug in for Maylene. It's super cool. it reverses and it hooks up on the pubic bone and it just causes pressure. It doesn't cause pain. And it opens and it tilts and it'll actually hold things open to stitch. So all you have to focus on is stitching. So everybody strongly recommend, I'm going to announce it on the rooftop when they get FDA approval for the US because it's going to change the face of how we repair our women for sure. So, but these are midwives inventing things. They're solving our problems. I mean, the bigger healthcare system investors are not going to fix and solve our problems. We're in the thick of it. We know if you see midwife the midwives, like I can't stress that enough, you can create a business in anything that can help advocate for better birth outcomes. So I appreciate
Yeah, and
you
we need more
greatly.
midwives like writing and doing things too, because I feel like as a midwife, you feel like you just work into the ground or you retire and then go like write or do something else. And we need people like living it and,
The
like you
research,
said, inventing,
the
doing other stuff.
legislature. There's a couple midwives being in the political arena. Like, we need more midwives that are wanting to not be the stereotypical midwife for sure. Well, thank you so much for your time, Arielle. I really, really appreciated it. And I'm sure we will have more chats.
All right. Thanks, Leslie.
Bye bye.